want you to write this word down, repent. Everybody write that word down, repent. We're going to concentrate on that word for a few minutes, repent. Repentance, think about the word. Now, Miss Tiffany, go easy on me because she is an English scholar, believe me. This word, repent, is comprised of two different parts. Re, everybody say re, and pent. Re means to return. Everybody say return.
Return.
Yeah. Re means to return. Pent is a form of pentacle. Or think of some of the words that uses that P-E-N-T. How about penthouse? Return to the penthouse. Return to the what? High place. Are you following me? Repentance means to, if you actually study the word out, you go to an 1828 Webster's Dictionary, don't use any other dictionary in my opinion. Go to an 1828 Webster's Dictionary and it will tell you to change the way you think. Go back to the right way of thinking. That's what repentance really is. It's not squall and bawl. It's not cry about the mistakes. It's not to tell everybody your mistakes. It's to simply go back to the original. Everybody say original. Original way God intended for us to think. Amen? So that word repentance, that's what it means. And the way you do that is you've got to sanctify yourself. You have got to learn how to cleanse the way you think. So Acts chapter 26, are you there? Acts 26, and look at verse. Well, we'll start in verse 14. This is the place where Saul of Tarsus was converted. Right here on the road to Damascus. And he is he's in front of a ruler of the Greeks, and he's telling him what occurred on this Damascus road and what Jesus said to him about his ministry, or about, as we're going to see in verse 19, his heavenly vision. In other words, this was the vision or the destiny that God spoke to him, and he never departed from it. His entire ministry from this experience all the way until the time they cut his head off in Rome, he constantly told people what God had asked him to do. Verse 14 says, "And when they were all fallen to the earth," he's talking about the people around him, "I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying to me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? It is hard to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose." Everybody say there's a purpose here. See, Jesus appeared unto Paul for a purpose. And we need to understand what this purpose is, because Paul's ministry in the New Testament, he wrote 75% of all the New Testament letters. His ministry is intertwined in this heavenly vision. So for us to understand the New Testament and the life force of faith that we're to live, you've got to understand this vision. Look at what else was said here. "Rise, stand upon your feet, for I've appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both to these things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles whom now I send you." Now watch this. We here at Gateway Fellowship have to get the revelation that we are sent to Gentiles. What's that mean, Pastor? Does that mean that that's a certain race? No, that means we're sent to unbelievers. We are sent to people that don't believe yet. Are you following me? When we're sent out of this church, we're sent to the world out here to minister a message to them that they haven't heard yet. The only way the church should grow is we should be preaching a message they ain't heard yet. Are you following me? See, sometimes it's easy for us to teach or to speak to somebody that knows something about the Bible. Come on, are you with me? You have something in common with them. But if all we do is speak to someone that we know that agrees with us, there's not a lot of growth in that. We're going to learn on Sunday mornings with that bunch of with that group of people. We're going to learn in the Bible classes with those people, amen. We're going to educate those people at least two or three times a week. But we've got to go out and preach the message that was preached to Paul. Amen. And that is to go to the lost. Gentiles are people that are separated from the favor and the anointing and the inheritance of God. If you want a clear decision or a definition, that's what it is. People that are separated from God. We're here to make the connection. So, to open their eyes and to turn them from what? Darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive what? Forgiveness of sins and what? An inheritance. Everybody say an inheritance. See, first they need to get their sins forgiven. Then they need to know that you have an inheritance in God. And you start telling people that they have an inheritance in God, and they'll start listening to you. Now you start telling them that they're sinners, and they can't, and they won't, and they never will, and they're just bad, ugly people, they're going to run from you. And that's the way most churches do it. But you begin to preach, you got an inheritance with God. Come and find out what your inheritance in God is. People will start paying attention to you. You say something good to people, they're more likely to follow you into church. But if you tell them how ugly they are, they're more likely to run. Now, there's an inheritance among them which is sanctified by what? That comes through and is sanctified by what? Faith. Faith is a central theme in the Bible. And we've got to learn. There's a lot of people that say, yeah, I know about faith. Well, if you know about faith, then it ought to be operating in your life. We ought to see the manifestation of the sons of God. Are you following me now? So, sanctification, it says right here, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to what? The heavenly vision. Now go to Acts chapter 20, a few pages to your left. Acts chapter 20, and look at verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able. What's able? The word of his grace. The word is able. Watch this. The word is able to do what? The word is able to build you up. See, the word always builds you up. Condemnation always tears you down. The word always tells you about the promises of God and the inheritance of God. But condemnation, if it's preached, even if it's in deception, will always tear you down, make you feel unworthy. Amen? So look at what it says here. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you what? An inheritance. The word should build you up and cause you to see. Everybody say, see. See the inheritance. Because if you see the inheritance, then they're going to see the inheritance. If you don't see an inheritance, they're not going to follow you. If you've never been to Walmart, how are you going to tell them to get to Walmart? Come on, that's Wilson 101. If you've never been to Walmart, you never physically drove to Walmart and experienced Walmart, which we're fixing to experience a super center here in Lone Oak, then you couldn't tell somebody from Hazen how to get there. Amen? Are you following me? So you have to know, you have to have seen this before you can take anyone else there. It says to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are what? Sanctified. See, this sanctification process is going to cause you to demonstrate something different in front of them. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for the real deal. Look at this. Go over to 1 Corinthians 6 and look at verse 11. A few pages to the right. 1 Corinthians 6 and look at verse 11. Now we're talking about sanctification. 1 Corinthians 6, look at verse 11. And such were some of you. He's talking about drunkards and revilers and extortioners and, you know, all kinds of idolaters and abusers of themselves. If you read the scriptures above that, he said, now some of you were like this. But now you are what? Look at verse 11. You're washed. You're what? You're sanctified. You've been washed and sanctified. Look what it says. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by what? The Spirit of God. Now go over and look at Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself. You're going to have to give yourself to people that you are called to out here in the community. You're going to have to show them that you love and care for them enough that you are willing to take them through this sanctification process. They've got to know that your interest is for them. They've got to know that you're not just some church person knocking on their door asking them to church. It's just another church visit. Amen. They've got to feel on the inside of them that you truly want them to receive an inheritance. You truly want them to receive what God wants for them. Amen. They've got to see that, and they'll never see that until you first are sanctified. Until you first have been to the place, like Paul. Paul could have never told us what this heavenly vision was all about if he had not experienced it. Are you following me? And that's what people are looking for. They're looking for somebody that has been somewhere with God. My Bible says in Acts that they looked at these guys and said, they're uneducated, they're dumb, but hey, they've been with God. We can tell they've been with God. Now I'm paraphrasing, but that's what they said about the early church and the disciples. See, he gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word, of water by the word. In other words, you're going to have to spend time and give people the word, which are an inheritance, the precious promises. Now on Sunday mornings we're teaching on contact with the divine nature. And the scripture in 2 Peter tells us that it's by the precious promises that we enter into that divine nature. See, if you don't tell somebody something, remember Brother Oral Roberts would stand in front of millions of people and say, something good's going to happen to you. And they'd all think, golly, no one else is preaching good. They're all preaching, you know, condemnation, damnation, amen, and sin. And people are going to enter into whatever you preach. How do I know that? The Bible says, how are they going to know without a preacher? Whatever you're preaching to your family, that's what they're going to enter into. If you're preaching, honey, we ain't got enough to buy a new car and we can't get any new clothes and, it's a depression out there. We're in recession, honey. We're just going to have to wait till next year. You're going to have depression, recession, and you're going to have to wait till next year. Even in the worst times that you could possibly live, don't ever say that to your children. If your child's in Walmart and they say, Mama, 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 buy me this, don't ever say no. Don't say no. Say, okay, we're going to have to buy that by faith. Now, where's your faith level? And begin to teach them, what are we going to do? Teach them how to obtain that car. Amen? Teach them how to obtain that bicycle. Don't just buy it for them. Teach them, hey, if you live by faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You want that? There's a power on the inside of you that's going to cause you to have it. Most of the time, that power is going to remind mom and daddy day in and day out until they buy it. Come on now. So go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians. See, that's what's going to transform this county and the next two counties in central Arkansas. This is what's going to transform them. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to what? Salvation. Through what? Salvation through what? Salvation through sanctification. Well, what is sanctification? It is a repentance of the mind, a renewing of the mind. And here at Gateway, we've got to realize that the past is the past. Everything that is in the past needs to stay in the past. It's a new day of salvation here at Gateway. It's a brand new day, and it's time for us to go out and get the people of God that have been chosen from the beginning. Amen? How are we going to do it? We're going to preach the message that something good's going to happen to you, sweetheart. You need to come to church. I mean, you just say that and people will follow you to church. You call them and say, listen, I've been thinking about you all week long. Something good's going to happen to you, and I want you to go to church and let's find out what it is. Amen? Because when people hear the word, something on the inside of them, a light bulb's going to go off, and they're going to start that hungering process, just like a deer pants for the water and goes through whatever's necessary to get to the water. Those people are going to do the same thing. But they need somebody to get them to the first step. Amen? Sanctification. Salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of what? The truth. Now go to Hebrews chapter 9. A few pages there to your right. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And look at verse 14. Am I doing okay, Miss Tiffany? Am I following your notes all right?
Yep.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. No, I'm just having fun. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 14. How much, now watch this now, how much, everybody say how much?
How much?
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge, everybody say purge?
Purge.
Your conscience. From what? Dead works. What's the dead works? That's the old life. God will purge your conscience. Now see, this is where many, this is what you've got to get across to people that are Gentiles. God will purge your conscience from the old life. Because let me tell you something, everyone you run into out there in the world, they are running from the old life. And they are looking for anyone that will see them in the new life. Come on. They've got enough people around them reminding them of who they are in the old life. They need somebody to say to them, hey, there is a new life, there is a new frontier. Use this. It's a new year. It's 2009, honey. It's time for you to get out of 2008 and get into 2009. Come to church with me. You have got to hear what's being preached because your past is the past. And get them out. Even if they may be in a situation with their family. They may be in a situation at work. Or they may be in a situation with their spouse. Grab them by the hand and say, honey, that is the past. We need to get into the future. I'm going to show you an inheritance that is available. And when they hear that, there's something. Because that's what I heard, see, when I got saved. When I was out there in the world, on the inside of me, I wanted the old Dwayne and the old life and everything I'd done, all my friends would remind me about all the time. I remember when I got saved. I used to hang out with, everybody say outlaws. I mean, you don't know outlaws. These dudes are mean, man. And they were ugly. Say ugly three times. Ugly, ugly, ugly. They were. And man, we'd go to these deer camps and we'd go to Colorado. I mean, we were ugly. And it didn't matter what we shot or what we said. Didn't matter what we put in our bodies. We were ugly. And as soon as I got saved, I ran into one of those guys and he said, oh, I remember. You remember back in 19 such and such? You remember us at the deer camp? I said, no, I don't remember that. He said, oh, yes, you do. Oh, you think you're a preacher now. What happened? You got amnesia or something? I got the tape. Let me show you the tape. They had a little VCR. You know, back then it was cameras that went to VCRs. Amen? Well, none of this automatic DVD stuff. He said, here, let me put this tape in. The tape couldn't play. As a matter of fact, the VCR ate the tape. That was a good thing because I was kind of sweating it there for a minute. And he said, man, what's wrong with this tape? And he pulled it out and there was all the tape wound up in it. I thought, oh, there is a God in heaven. He said, now you remember when? And I looked him right in the eyes and said, no, I don't. And that shook him up. I mean, you could visibly see, it was almost like he broke out in a sweat going, oh, wait a minute, I hadn't approached this kind of person before. You know, kind of the way I would think when you would go to the psychiatric ward down at the state hospital and you had to sit down and talk to someone, but he just kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies. Can I say that? That's the way he was thinking when he saw me. Because he saw something totally he ain't never saw before. When I looked him in the eyes, I said, I don't remember. But there was something on the inside of him that went, oh, wait a minute. I like not remembering. Come on, are you with me? For a split, something said, hey, I like that. Now, I don't know about it. I really don't understand how to connect to it, but what you said, something on the inside of me, are y'all with me now? Something on the inside of me kind of likes that. I would like to leave all my past in the past. Come on now. When you start thinking, how many of you would like to go to a new country? Because this country you messed up pretty bad. And everybody in this country knows how bad you messed it up. And there's this thought of, wow, let's start again. Amen? Isn't that refreshing? That's why every year people start new diet plans, new fasting, you know, new whatever. Because there's something on the inside that wants to forget the past. Repent. Return to the top is what repentance is about. It ain't return to the bottom of the platform and squall and ball. It's return. Change. Here's what repentance means. Remember when Jesus said, repent. Paul said, repent because you know not the word of God. Return awake to righteousness. Remember that? So, how do we do this? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 17. I'm expecting, my expectation is high for you. I'm expecting you with a smile on your face to bring new people into the church. I'm expecting that. I've already seen it. I already prayed about it. And now I'm preaching about it. Next thing you know, we're going to have new people coming in here. And it ain't because we got a hot dog sale. And it ain't because we're swallowing goldfish. Come on now. It's because there's something new. There's something new that we can demonstrate to them that they ain't got to live in this whole life. I don't care if you get one scripture, get this one. Old things are passed away. Honey, old things are passed away. Come on to church. Yeah, but you know, Johnny, he don't like me going to church. And you know, I tell you what, he was a mess last night. Forget Johnny for 2 hours. Johnny, you'll be there when you get back. Forget Johnny for 2 hours. Come to church with me. Yeah, I know, but you don't know Nadine. She is the meanest old woman. I tell you what. She hits me all the time, and I got to do dishes, and you don't know Nadine. That girl's crazy, and she sure don't want me to come to church. Forget Nadine for 2 hours, guys, and get in the church house. Come on. Are y'all with me? Therefore, now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? New. Everybody say new. You're new, folks. I'm just here to tell you, you're new. You may not realize it yet, but you're brand new. Matter of fact, you're getting younger all the time. That's what the Bible says. In the Word, in the Spirit, you're renewing yourself. You're getting younger all the time. You're getting closer to God all the time. You're a new creation. Look what it says. New creation. Old things are passed away. See, write that down, underline it, and tell old Pookie and them, come on. Nadine and Johnny, old things are passed away. Come on. Old Bubba, when he starts up, you tell him the same thing. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And what? All things are what? Of God, who's reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us what? The ministry of reconciliation. Now let's look at one other scripture. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 8. Colossians 3, look at verse 8. I don't know where we were teaching. We were teaching somewhere a couple years ago. I can't remember what it was. Afterwards, I had somebody come to me and say, "Man, I ain't never had anyone give me that many scriptures in one service. Where'd you come from?" I thought, well, I'll come back. Come on. Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 9. Colossians 3 and look at verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have what? Now, look at this. That you've what?
Put off
the old man and his deeds. Look at verse 10. And have what? Put on the new man, which is renewed. Everybody say renewed. Sanctified in the knowledge after the what? The image of him. One more scripture. We're going to close right here. Amen. Go over to James chapter 1. And look at verse 20. James chapter 1. And look at verse 20. James chapter 1, look at verse 20. Now we're just getting started. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness, naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to what? Save. Now, if you go and you look that word save up, you know what it means? Renew or restore. The word is able to renew or restore your what? Soul. Now everybody knows what you know. You look that word soul up, what does it mean? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that's where the battleground's at, folks. Right now, the only thing that is stopping this church, everyone in this church right now, from bringing one person is the soulless realm. You're not going to bring somebody to church until you feel like you got something to say to them. Well, I gave you a whole slew tonight of scriptures that you can go home and meditate on. And Friday night, you start calling the person that you know is supposed to be coming to church with you. And every one of us ought to bring one person. Now, we had a leadership meeting Sunday night, and we set out a 3-year plan. We are going to pack this house out. Now, if we just gained 4 people for the preaching of the gospel, each week we could do it in 1 year. 4 people. Each week we could do it one year. We'd have to build a new building in 1 year. How do we do that? We do it by the word. The word, the engrafted word, is able to do what? To save, to restore, to renew your mind to where you feel like, I can bring somebody to church. See, in the past, you may not have felt comfortable bringing somebody to church. Amen? Well, I don't know. You know, Susie Lou, you're going to get over and start singing in the spirit. Or, you know, you never know what such and such is going to do. Well, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to open the Bible and start doing what I did all night and just go right through the scriptures. Are you following me? You know what Jake and Hannah are going to do and Miss Tiffany and the praise team. They're going to prepare and sing the word through song. Isn't that right? We know exactly what's going to happen. So it says here, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Amen. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the engrafted word in our hearts tonight. And the word is repent and renew and restore. And then go get someone and bring them to church. We thank you, Father. We thank you that we are restored in your fellowship. We thank you, Lord, that we have the knowledge of the ministry of Jesus in every area to minister to the lost and the hurting and those that are out of church. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Now, many of you came tonight. I know you did.